Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How you doing? I hope that you are well. Be ready to be jealous. I am on a five-day weekend. Isn't this wonderful? Yes, it is the time where the end-of-the-year stuff has all been done. All the record-keeping and all the grades and all that stuff has been done. And I've done really as much preparation as I can do right now for the upcoming year. We still don't have all our students lined up and our classes lined up. At least I don't know what they are. So everybody's taking time off. It's a little bit of a spring break, not very long, you know, only 5 days. But hey, 5 days off is 5 days off. You can't argue with that. So I am here. I'm relaxing. I'm sleeping late, which is exactly what you should do when you have 5 days off. Aren't you lucky? I'm also catching up on some reviews that I've kind of been putting off writing and getting those up to date, which is good. So, other than that, I've really got no news. Oh, yes, I do have a little bit of news. Another way that I'm killing time, I'm watching this show, Leverage, which you may have seen. It's finished 3 seasons, so you may already know it. But the reason I'm watching Leverage is because my brother's going to be on, I think, in July. So, if you like the show, in the 4th season, my brother is going to be one of the bad guys of the week. He's going to get cheated. I can't wait to see how they do it. So, good fun. But that has nothing to do with books, nothing to do with our purpose here. And as you know, it is the last Thursday of the month, which means it is Dark Tower time again. And we're almost finished with the Dark Tower. We're up to Song of Susanna. This is book 6. One more to go. And I gave you a riddle last time, which unfortunately I got no correct answers on. I'm very disappointed, really. I knew you could do better, but well. Don't worry. You have one more riddle coming up for the last book. You can redeem yourselves. I believe the riddle went something like, the maker doesn't want it, the buyer doesn't use it, and the user never sees it. The answer to that riddle is a coffin. Think on that. All right. But this brings us to Song of Susanna, book 6. Now, I've read a lot of series, and I think that every long series has to eventually include a book like Song of Susanna. It's the weak book. It's the one that you have to have, but you would rather you didn't have to have it. The one that pretty much exists just to get you from point A to point B, which resolves some earlier issues and sets up some later conflicts, but which, by itself, isn't nearly as good or as much fun to read as the books that either preceded it or follow it. I call it a bridge book, and I suspect they are somewhat inevitable. But before we get into all the heady analysis and stuff, let's see what the book is about. Now, this directly follows the ends of Wolves of the Cullah, and our quartet is split. Susanna has been possessed by this strange spirit who calls herself Mia, and she has taken the supremely powerful Black 13 and used it to open a magic door to New York City. It is there that she hopes to have her child and have the raising of it before it grows up to destroy the world, as any good mother would. Everyone else, of course, is concerned for her safety, but there is one other thing that needs to be done. The vacant lot in Manhattan and the rose that grows there must be protected. This rose represents one of the 2 beams that remain to hold up the Dark Tower, and thus all of existence, so its safety is paramount. The other beam just happens to be Stephen King himself, but we will get to that. So Roland's party splits up. Roland and Eddie go off to rural Maine to find Calvin Tower and secure proper ownership of the vacant lot. Jake, Oi, and Father Callahan follow hot on Susanna's heels to New York City to try and save her from the horrible death that no doubt awaits her there. Horrible death awaits all of them, truth be told, but one does what one must in pursuit of the tower. So Jake, Oi, and Callahan's story is the far more straightforward one. They go to New York and follow Susanna slash Mia's psychic trail to Black 13, which they dispose of in a manner that should bring a grim smile to all 21st century Americans. They then go on to the Dixie Pig, a restaurant slash portal to a dimension of hell and pain, where they expect to be gunned down the moment they go through the door. It's pretty cut and dry, really. Roland and Eddie, though, have the far more mind-bending task of meeting their maker, literally. As a side quest, you see, to securing the legal possession of the vacant lot, they learn that Stephen King lives nearby, and they decide to pop in and pay him a visit. This kind of freaks King out, rightfully so. To him, Roland is a character who's haunted his mind than a few pages of manuscript that has languished in storage for years. King had given up on the Dark Tower and never expected to pick it up again, and until, of course, its main character showed up, insisting that his story be finished. Now, to me, this was really one of the most interesting conceits of the whole series. The idea of characters breaking through that fourth wall and entering the real world is nothing new, nor is having them ask some rather pointed questions of their creators. But it's another thing for those characters to not only meet their creator, but to do so before he's actually written about them up to the point where they're meeting him. Written about up to the point... Yes, okay, that does make sense. In short, not only is King the embodiment of one of the last beams of the Dark Tower, he is also an avatar of Gan, the primal force of order and righteousness in the universe. Through King and the story of Roland and his quartet, Gan is trying to keep the tower up against the forces of Discordia, as embodied by another king, the Crimson King. These two kings, one of them unknowing, the other one very much knowing, are locked in a fight to the death with the universe at stake. Now, through all of this, Susanna is having her own troubles in New York. Mia has gained control of her body to the point where she's able to manifest the legs that Susanna lost long ago, and she's determined to have her child. She has an appointment to keep with the agents of the Crimson King, and she believes that she will finally achieve that holy state for which she had gladly given up her immortality, motherhood. Susanna, on the other hand, knows that whatever is brewing in Mia's belly is a threat to Roland, and will do whatever she can to stop the birth, or at least turn Mia against her chosen destiny. Depending on the kind of books you like reading, Song of Susanna will either be tolerably good or downright unpleasant, and this is mainly due to its rather fractured structure. The three plot threads don't intersect directly once everyone leaves the Cullah, and don't have any kind of resolution once you get to the last page of the book. As a friend of mine put it, there's no there there. The other volumes, like most standard issue novels, have some sort of resolution at the end. You can close the book and be able to tell people, oh, the characters achieved this, and it was fairly conclusive and interesting. Of course, a series always has a greater conflict, the series-level conflict, that won't be resolved until the last volume, but each individual book needs to have its own setup, conflict, and resolution, with enough loose ends to get us into the next book. Well, Song of Susanna doesn't really do this. The matter of the vacant lot is a fairly simple legal matter, which is not only easily resolved, but also kind of dull once you compare it to everything that's gone before. The problem of Black 13 is done away with pretty easily as well, which really doesn't befit an artifact that we've been told possesses immensely evil power. And while Susanna doesn't prevent Mia from making her appointment at the Dixie Pig, she does manage to plant the seeds of doubt in this immortal spirit's mind. In short, what's achieved in this book is not really up to the level of what we've come to expect. The dramatic escape from the decaying city of Lud, the horrible tragedy of Roland and Susan in the Mages, the valiant stand against the wolves, all of these are proper climaxes and proper resolutions. The sole purpose of this volume is really just to bridge the gap between Wolves of the Cullah and the Dark Tower, and the only reason it ended where it did was because, well, you have to end it somewhere. Having said all of that, I did kind of enjoy this book, and I tore through it at record speed. I thought Susanna's chipping away at Mia's confidence was pretty well handled and made a lot of sense. Jake, Oi, and Callahan preparing for their last stand, and of course their likely deaths, was great. And the whole metafictional issue of characters meeting with their creators is just the kind of thing that really digs into my brain and gets it going. And while the book may have been less carefully focused than other editions in the series, it must be remembered that I am a longtime veteran of the Wheel of Time series, which has so many subplots, side plots, secondary plots, divided parties, prophecies, histories, secrets, societies, ancient enmities, mythical forces, artifacts of unimaginable power, questionable plot elements, and unanswered questions, that it really makes the Dark Tower look like one of Aesop's fables. So I do have an unfair advantage there. If you're reading the series, you have to read Song of Susanna. If you haven't read the series, there's no point to reading Song of Susanna. That's really all I can say. Let me give you a quote from the book. This is Roland, where he's talking about Stephen King, and about whether King is going to live long enough to finish the series, which was a concern of ours too. Roland says, "I don't think he needs to be immortal. I think all he needs to do is write the right story, because some stories do live forever." And of course the big question is, of the stories that King has written, is this the one that will live forever? That is an interesting question to ask. I don't know. I think there's other stories which will live longer than the Dark Tower, but we shall see. When I become immortal, I'll let you know. All right, so that concludes Song of Susanna, which means we have one more book left. That is The Dark Tower itself, the capstone book, the ending book. That'll be interesting, and that'll be next month, and then we will be done with The Dark Tower. I want to get into Wheel of Time, actually, now that we've mentioned it, but I kind of want to hold off on that until there is a definite set in at least semi-solid clay release date for the final volume. I don't want to get into it, and then have Brandon Sanderson said, oh, I have to split the last book again. He says he won't, but you never know. So after Dark Tower, I think we'll go into one short series and cover that, and then come hell or high water, we're going to dive into Wheel of Time. Lucky you. All right. Next week. Next week, actually, I chose because of the topic that I did last weekend on Lost in the Stacks, which, of course, I'm sure you've listened to, but in the off chance that you haven't listened to it, it was basically about women in fiction, female characters in fiction, and how women are treated in fiction. And I talked a lot about what it's like to try and write a good, strong female character when you're not a female yourself, and the problems that writers have coming up with good female characters. And I gave some examples of characters that I liked. What we're going to talk about next week is a book which, in my mind, exemplifies bad female character writing. It's a science fiction book, and it's pretty much my standard of how not to write a female character, or a science fiction book in general. It was a very disappointing text, but I feel like telling you about it anyway. All right, so that is it. Guess the book. Guess the book, and you will win a fantastic prize, dinner at the Dixie Pig. All right. That is about it for me, I think. This will be a nice, brief podcast this week, so you can go about your business, whatever that may be. I hope that you are well, I hope that you are happy, and I will see you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod, at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.